Hi and welcome back to Matrix Moments. This is Saloni and in today's episode I have with me Avneesh Bajaj, Founder Managing Director, Matrix Partners India. So in today's episode we're going to be talking about extreme productivity and the strategies used to attain this. Avneesh, you often talk about having met people who have unlimited bandwidth and yet we know that there are only X number of hours in a day. So how do you really achieve unlimited bandwidth and what does it really mean?
Thank you, Saloni. Good to be back. Let me ask you something first. What can't money buy?
Health, love.
Money can buy health. You get so much preventive love. Okay, I can't argue with you on that. I may have a different point of view. People say happiness, but let me say a different framework. And obviously, there's no right answer here. I don't think money can buy time. Yet, I think time can buy money. And you know, there are friends of mine who are very successful. And they always seem to have time. And I keep telling them, and there's a saying also, right, that true wealth is time. I actually think it's the other way around, which is the people who manage their time extremely well become super successful. Right. And I think that underpins a lot of other things. I think it underpins clarity of thought and some of the stuff we can talk about. So I think what do I mean by people with unlimited bandwidth? And I've been really privileged to work with a lot of them. And honestly, I've picked up a lot of stuff from them. Some of the practices we can discuss today is not from any one particular person, but a lot of these guys have similar things, or these people. One common trait, always available for important things. And it boggles my mind how they are always able to do it. And I remember this thing from Meg Whitman, which she had said that as you rise up your career graph, often we are asked to prioritize things, right? So we will say, hey, Meg, should I be doing X or should I be doing Y?
Yeah.
And she used to say, that's a cop-out. The challenge in senior positions is the challenge of the and not the or. You have to do both. And that's obviously in a finite number of hours in a day that puts more pressure. So I do think that there is this set of people, whether you call it extreme productivity, which is the way I want to practice it, who just have unlimited bandwidth.
Sure. So, but what in your observation would you say that these people do differently, the practices that you were just referring to? So are there any like daily practices on a tactical level that are followed to help achieve this level of productivity?
So we'll go through some of this. My only submission is that nobody has all of them.
Right.
But these are some thought starters for people to think about.
Sure.
The first thing it starts with, which is a topic of a separate podcast, not with me, but somebody else, which is clarity of thought.
Okay.
These guys have unbelievable clarity of thought. Why is clarity of thought important? Because you have to separate the important and the unimportant. The classic prioritization 2x2. Is you put urgent and important on the two axes. And you say whether it's urgent and whether it's not urgent and whether it's very important or it's not important. And often you'll find that most of us are always doing urgent and important. Okay? Well, that's good. If you're doing urgent and not important, that's horrible. But being able to know what is important and not important is very critical. And these people have that. There are one or two practices that people follow like meditation or even very tactical, which I sometimes discuss with people, that ask yourself in a situation, if I could do only one thing, what would it be? If I could do only two things, what would those be? So that really forces you to think. But coming back to these people, I think they spend a lot of time in the quadrant of the important, not just urgent and important. Okay. Now, how do you get there? Assume you are able to separate these two. And one of our colleagues actually mentioned this to me and it came into this framework. Is that most of these people spend 80 to 90% of their day on planned activities. Yet they leave 15, 10, 15, 20%, I mean, the numbers are not important, for unplanned activities. Now, guess what you're doing? You're planning an unplanned activity, right?
Yeah.
So, and then the important stuff that shows up either is part of their planned activities, but the urgent and important can immediately be slotted into the, planned, unplanned. So I think that's the second practice. Go back and think how much of your day is planned. How much of how many things are calendared. Now, it can sound a little bit regimented, but I actually have free slots calendared on my calendar, right? Because I know that's the planned unplanned. And if somebody really needs to reach me, they are able to. Other practices, one that I follow personally, I learned from a very well-known VC very early, is this concept of 8 to 10 hits a day.
Okay.
What is a hit? A hit is a needle-moving action on something that's important. Okay. So let's take an example of that. If I have to help hire somebody for a company.
Yeah.
So now that is a non-incremental thing that I have to do. If I do one interview, that's one hit. Yeah. If I do three interviews for the same position, that's still one hit.
Right.
Now, if I'm doing two interviews for one position, two for another position, that those are two different hits. Now, what that forces you to start thinking is, am I truly being productive at multiple levels? So if I do eight interviews for the same position, my day has only one hit. So what I will then do is say, how do I minimize the number of interviews I have to do for this position? Which means that I'll probably do reference checking. I'll do some other practice. So I think often, you know, we run into this set of people who are very busy. They're always busy, but they're not productive. Things take, you know, far longer than they should. That's because they are always busy doing these, let's say, 10 interviews for the same position, as opposed to 5 interviews for 4 different positions.
Right.
And that's how the productivity goes up. So this framework has helped me a lot to say every day on my calendar, are there 8 to 10 different needle moving activities that I'm doing. Then other tactical things, personally, some of this is my pet peeve. So I use a single inbox.
Okay.
So we are in the days of Twitter, LinkedIn. At work, we have some other softwares. There's WhatsApp, there's Facebook Messenger. I believe a lot of that is junk. And I have a single inbox, which is my email inbox.
Okay.
You have seen this. If you are trying to reach me on WhatsApp, it's 2 times a day.
Right.
Because I filter all the junk because there's so much spam that comes.
Right.
So work for me is a single inbox, which is email. And then I make sure it's cleaned every day. So, you know, generally you would know that the response times end up being, and then people know that they would reach out. Other pet kind of a way of doing things. Phone for me, I think, tends to be used or abused a lot. So if you see me in the office or even some of the people that I work with, I don't use the phone in the office.
Yeah.
There is planned time for phone, which is before work hours or first thing in the morning or end of the day or late night. So my phone is on D&D, and people often say that, hey, you know, that's a luxury to have. I don't believe so. I think if you ask my founders, they would say I'm very, very responsive, but it is scheduled. Unless it is in that slot where you
plan for the unscheduled.
You have planned. So I think office is for things that can only happen in the office.
Right.
Phone calls can happen anywhere, right? So I tend to really, really segregate those two things. Other than where it is really urgent and important.
Right.
Final kind of tip is also one of the things, just going back to phone calls, is I believe, you know, when people message you quick chat, this, that, they are thinking about their own convenience.
Sure.
Now, if it is something I have to think about, I prefer and I ask them, can you please send me context on email? Then I will have a chat.
Right.
Now, what happens is often, and this happens in meetings also, we use meetings and other people's time either to outsource our thinking, which sometimes is okay, but those should be slots set up as it's brainstorming, it's discussion, it's whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Often it's to give information.
Yeah.
Why do you have to schedule a time with me to give me information? Send it over in writing, right? So one of the practices, I've heard it from so many people globally, some of the, you know, most successful people, is do things in writing.
Yeah.
Because it forces you to clarify your own thinking. It gives the other person time to think. It lets the other person respond once they have thought and at their convenience, as opposed to you, I use this term, revving people up at your convenience, you know, whenever you think. So which is why the phone tends to be an instrument used very, very carefully by me. And the good news is people who know you well, and as they get to know you, you set these rules of engagement. But they know, everybody knows that I'm reachable within 15 to 30 minutes if they require me. Final thing, one important thing I've seen with all the highly productive people, they schedule their meetings in 15-minute intervals.
Okay. Okay.
And that means they are really respecting time.
Yeah.
And I think if you don't respect your own time, you don't respect other people's time. So often meetings are set up as half an hour, 45 minutes, 1 hour, 1 hour, 15 minutes. And some of the big industrialists I have met, they are very, you know, you're talking to them, you're 45 minutes into it, the gentleman will get up very, very courteously and say, sorry, but I have run out of time. And this is a common trait. And you can feel bad or you can feel, wow, I should learn from this. And I have learned from that. And I do the same, saying, sorry, I have run out of time, right? So right. I think we need to really respect time.
Okay. And lastly, your thoughts on the work-life balance. How do you strike the right balance between the two?
Do you think I'm competent to answer
honestly?
This question? So let me put it this way. I don't believe in work-life balance. I believe in work-life harmony.
Okay.
I am very passionate about my work, and I think a lot of people are. And I think when you're so passionate about work, I think it would be, at least for a DNA like mine, it's delusional to expect that I can segregate the two. Yet, hopefully, if you speak to my family, they will say, you know, they feel I'm there for them.
Yeah.
And that is because we have integrated work and life. And what does that mean? Even when I go on a holiday, I have a contract with my family. The contract is, before the kids wake up and get going by, let's say, 10, 11 a.m., I have put in 3-4 hours of work.
Okay.
And post them unwinding around 8, 9 p.m., I put in 2-3 hours of work. In between, if I have to take a call, which is a planned call, I will do it, right?
Yeah.
So, honestly, throughout the holiday, I'm actually never backlogged. I feel like it's working. I'm in a good mood.
Mm-hmm.
And the whole day, I'm with the family and they feel that I'm there. That said, you know, at Matrix, you know, we have this philosophy of 15, 20, 15.
Right.
Which is, let's say you have 50 productive weeks in a year.
Mm-hmm.
15 weeks, people should really have their weekends to their own. Because there's this thing that comes up sometimes saying, you know, should we be working all the time? Are we 24/7? I think everybody is built differently.
Right.
For me, 24/7 is my, if I don't do that, I'll get stressed. But I think 15 weekends, just go. If you disappeared, nobody would find out.
Yeah.
20 is maybe this kind of some level of work which I discussed with you.
Mm-hmm.
And 15 weekends, be prepared to kill yourself.
Yeah.
And in our business, kind of, you know, which tends to be, you know, a little bit spiky on deals, you know, that's probably one framework that can work. Those are my thoughts, but I'm no expert on this.
Thanks, Avnish. Thank you for listening. And you can find the transcribed version of this podcast on matrixpartners.in. You can also follow us on Twitter and LinkedIn for more updates.